It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. PM Tampa Bay, I'm Ryan Gorman. With me this evening, Felix Vega and James Berlander on the board. And joining us on the hotline right now, we have ABC Action News reporter Katie Legrone, who's had some really interesting reports over the past couple of weeks. Katie, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to join us. And let me start with an issue. We were actually talking about this earlier in the show because you have the governor trying to figure out a way to potentially open up visitation at some long-term care facilities. It's a very difficult balance. I wouldn't want to be making that decision. You did an investigation into Florida's long-term care centers and how some have been disciplined for putting residents at risk for COVID-19. What did you uncover during this investigation?
Right. So, of course, it's been all COVID all the time, and so much effort and focus has been on these long-term care facilities and, of course, the residents and staff inside being the most vulnerable to this virus. And so there's been so much attention on them specifically, so much support provided, but yet still we took a look, you know, after 5 months since the governor essentially shut these facilities down to the public, we found facilities, nearly a dozen of them, who had been disciplined by the state, suspended in some cases, for some pretty egregious violations, including everything from a facility in the Tampa Bay area in Brandon that had no COVID-19 policy in place to begin with, let alone its staff not wearing the proper personal protective gear. In other cases, you had COVID-positive patients being roomed with non-COVID residents. That kind of cohorting, I think, was something that really took the secretary of the Agency for Healthcare Administration sort of aback when we spoke to her.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out maybe you don't room a COVID patient with a non-COVID patient in a long-term care facility. That just seems like common sense.
There were several incidents of that at several different facilities. And so, yeah, it sort of makes you wonder, gosh, what's going on? And look, you know, by and large, and the secretary was very, very clear to point this out correctly and accurately that, you know, there are some 4,000 long-term care centers, nursing homes, assisted living facilities. And so, you know, when you're looking at sort of these, you know, incidents, I mean, you're talking, you know, about a small fraction of the vast majority who are doing things right and doing what they can with, of course, you know, always limited resources, always limited staff. But still, when you hear these things and you talk to the family members of the people who are directly impacted by this, that's when you really think, what is going on? Like, what, you know, get it together.
Now, did you hear when you were talking to family members the fact that visitation had been suspended, and rightly so? I think that was certainly the right move to make, but that also left a layer of accountability missing where normally you have family members and friends going into these facilities. They can kind of see what's going on. Now that was no longer the case. And was that part of the issue that allowed some of these facilities to get away with not doing the right thing and putting their residents at risk?
Well, I think if you talk to any elder advocacy group, that's exactly what they're going to tell you. And I think that there's accuracy for that, right? I mean, part of, you know, the accountability is family members being able to visit and seeing firsthand what's happening. You know, we ended up talking to a group director. We spoke to the director of Families for Better Care. They're based in Texas, and this is what they do. And, you know, their point was essentially that is, look, you know, without families being able to visit, you're missing so much accountability there. So their point is state workers, state inspectors need to be in these facilities more often. We know from the secretary of the Agency for Healthcare Administration that every nursing home has been visited by state inspectors at least once since this pandemic began. What remained unclear at the time of our story was how often they've been back. And by the end of the evening, or rather by the end of the day yesterday, we did get some word back from the agency that assisted living facilities had not been visited at least once. So those inspections are currently ongoing, and those inspections are actually happening only when they're referred by either the Department of Health, county health departments, or individual complaints. And so there is still a gap in that kind of coverage in these facilities that, again, are these hot zones for this virus.
We're joined by ABC Action News reporter Katie Legrone here on PM Tampa Bay, who did some great reporting on Florida's long-term care centers, some having been disciplined for putting residents at risk for COVID-19. And when you say disciplined in your story, what exactly do you mean? What happened to these facilities? And are they vulnerable to potential lawsuits from the families? There was a big discussion early on as to whether or not the governor was going to provide for some kind of immunity for these facilities. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, okay, so as far as the discipline, we know that a number of these facilities, their admissions were suspended, and you know, even that, you hear admissions, it's like, wait, are they still admitting people? And yes, a lot of these facilities are still admitting people, and in some cases, you know, fines, penalties, even, you know, plans of action to, you know, to be revisited. In terms of lawsuits, you know, we did a story a couple months ago about lawsuits and sort of the need for loved ones, family members to document everything as we continue going through this crisis. And, you know, that immunity, yeah, I mean, where does that stand? Has he made a decision on that, the governor? I haven't even heard.
I have no idea.
You know, I mean,
would we know if he did?
I mean, that's been out there for months. I reported on that at the beginning of this pandemic, because right away, doctors, you know, the medical field, nursing homes, medical providers were calling for this. It's already passed in several states, but I guess it hasn't passed yet here in Florida. But, you know, that's something I think that type of, you know, the civil part of this is always going to be part of the equation. And that's why any kind of advocate or, you know, elder attorney is going to remind people to document who you're talking to, what you're seeing. In the case of one of the folks who we had spoken to for our story, they had actually placed a camera inside the room of their loved one, you know, letting everyone know this was just something that they had done when they had admitted their loved one a year ago. And, you know, that, yeah, I mean, that's kind of their way of documenting things. So, you know, the civil part of this will be interesting to see, won't it? And equally interesting to see what, if anything, the governor does to protect facilities. Look, you know, these facilities are dealing with a lot, and they're, you know, by and large, you know, doing it. Yes, the numbers are terrible. You know, residents and staff in long-term facilities account for way too many of these cases, nearly half of all deaths reported in the state. But, you know, their resources are still slim. You know, rapid testing is still an issue. Staff, now you're dealing with staff who, you know, they're just exhausted. You know, I mean, you talk to people and they'll talk about how you've got there's only so many people who, you know, you're losing people in this industry, you know, in terms of people just not being able to continue or getting sick themselves, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a tough position.
Katie, this is Felix Vega. I have one quick question about the testing that's going on. You indicated in your piece that there was people that had tested positive and they were never sent to the hospital. More frighteningly, they had never been seen by their doctors.
Yes.
Do they know if the people, the residents, are being tested by staff inside the nursing home and that's just not being reported or being reported to their doctors? Is that the scenario?
So that's, yes, that's how we understand it, is that these tests are being sent to the facilities and the facilities are actually conducting the testing. There is some question about what kind of testing and the rapid testing, the antigen versus, you know, molecular. That kind of gets into a whole other facet, but the molecular being sort of this test that can get results in a matter of minutes versus the rapid testing that's been out there that could take days. But we understand that, yes, all of these tests are happening on site by the facility.
We're joined by ABC Action News reporter Katie Legrone here on PM Tampa Bay. Final question for me. You did a report recently on excess deaths, which is something that medical professionals and people who are keeping an eye on this pandemic are paying particularly close attention to. And look, we've seen some incidents here in Florida where some deaths have been labeled coronavirus deaths and they shouldn't have been labeled that way. There was a recent case out of South Florida that made some news, a recent report. But on the excess deaths front, what did you find, and explain what that is?
Right. So excess deaths is basically the number of deaths that is above and beyond what is predicted year over year, month over month, any given period of time when conditions are normal. Okay. So every year they predict in the month of April, there will be X number of deaths based on, you know, the last 5 years worth of Aprils,
yeah.
Right? And so this excess deaths is that number above and beyond. And so what we found was, after looking at the data, which, as we've all reported, has been full of questions, right? Is it really accurate? What's missing? And so what we found was that the number of the excess deaths above and beyond what the state predicted for any given period of time, or what medical researchers had predicted for that period of time, was above and beyond, and the number of COVID deaths that were attributed was also below. So let me
explain this
another way. So for example, during the month, and this was actually an example that we used in our story. So during the month of April, over the past 5 years, you had, you know, the approximately 17,000 people died in our state every April for the past 5 years. This past April, that number spiked to more than 19,000. So there were more than 2,000 deaths above and beyond what was expected under normal circumstances. The state attributed COVID-19 to just over 1,000 of those deaths. So what happened to that other 1,000? And so what medical researchers and scientists, the point that they're making is that, look, the true death toll of this pandemic is beyond who is dying directly from COVID-19. So you could have had deaths that were indirectly attributed, but still attributed to the pandemic. So, you know, perhaps people who, had strokes or heart attacks that, you know, didn't make it to the hospital, or people who had cancers that were too afraid to get treatment during that time. And so while it's not necessarily directly caused by COVID-19, it is an indirect impact of the pandemic. And so that's where researchers and medical professionals will tell you that excess mortality rates is really sort of the surest way to measure the true cost of any given unexpected event, i.e. hurricanes and this pandemic.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that the 2,000 excess deaths, they're all attributable to coronavirus directly. There could
directly
be some that are, and then there could be some
correct
that aren't. But
yet,
when you're trying to figure out whether or not the death toll is higher or lower than what's currently being reported, it certainly seems like, when you take everything into account, including some of these instances where I believe there was a motorcyclist who was killed in an accident and that was labeled COVID for some reason, clearly a mistake, that was in Central Florida. So you have some of those instances, but then when you look at the big picture,
right, so
it certainly seems like, yeah.
Exactly. There's some overcounting, although, I only know that anecdotally from, you know, different stories that I've read in the news, but specifically, what we found was sort of more of this undercounting, in that you've got, sort of the COVID direct versus non-direct, but those indirect rather. But that is part of the pandemic's true toll. And this is all stuff. I mean, you know, and I've talked about this personally with personal friends, and I've said, you know, the real-time reporting on this, as a reporter, admittedly, the real-time reporting on this is so flawed because, you know, even the way that deaths are reported, it's not necessarily that, you know, the state is reporting a death that occurred that day. They could be reporting a death that occurred a month ago, but they're just reporting it a month later. And so all of these numbers, I mean, this is obviously a crisis, what's happening. This is obviously very real and very serious. But in terms of, I think, the true death toll, the true cost of this pandemic, I think, personally, I don't think we'll understand for years. Because you've got to go back and look at the numbers and look at the death certificates and when they were stamped versus when they were reported.
ABC Action News reporter Katie Legrone. You can find all of her reporting at abcactionnews.com. Some really great stuff, again, at abcactionnews.com. Katie, thank you so much for taking the time to break those stories down for us. We really appreciate it. And stay safe out there.
And you as well. Thanks, guys. Take care.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.